This is a podcast from Minute Media.
I still believe through the cold and through the heat, through the rain and through the tears, through the crowds and through the cheers. Oh, I still believe.
La, la, la. We're recording. Check. Can you hear me? I did not look at my levels before we did this. I think we're good.
Oh, yeah. I can hear you. Kevin, I got a fresh-ass beer. New outlook on life. We're going to pod today. We're going to pod.
I'm pumped. We've been podding a while. Hey, well, first of all, welcome back to the Dogs of War podcast. If you're listening to today, it comes out. Are we dropping this Wednesday or draft day on Thursday?
Wednesday. We'll do another one. Let's just drop it tomorrow and be
okay. You listen today, it comes out. It is Wednesday, April 27th, the year of our Lord. Who should have been rookie of the year? Evan Mobley, 2022. This is Kevin along with
Raleigh.
And all right, let's start off with one thing here. A little administrative, little office. What's the word I'm looking for? Admin work. Where have we been the last 2 or 3 months? So let's just keep it a buck. People already know you had a child. We do this because we enjoy it. We're not heroes. We put our pants on one leg at a time like everyone else. Fortunately, I don't want to say fortunately, it's not our full-time job. We wish it was, but we do have real jobs, and there's only so much time in the year you can put into this when it's not your 9-to-5.
And act like, okay, the biggest thing, I'm going to be honest, the shit that's been going down with the Browns and like, I don't care what your thoughts are on Baker Mayfield. It's been such a bummer. Like, the Browns have been, and Baker in part, have been doing a pretty good job of just making what could have been hopefully a clean breakup just look like the worst divorce of all time.
I can't take any more of it.
And I'm like, okay. Then with the Watson, with the allegations and whatnot, it's like, yeah, he didn't get charged criminally, but okay, something, it's weird. And I'm like, can we just let the dust settle there before we make any hard statements? And I'm like, yep, this sounds like a pretty good job to focus on my child, my life. Me and Kevin have been going boxing.
We have not, like, against each other
yet. Fucking yet. Dude, I'm like 8 months away before I could.
Oh, I'm nowhere near being able to boxing. Shout out people who box regularly. This is my first time was started a few weeks ago. There's a boxing gym right in between Raleigh and my streets in Chicago here. And these dudes that are training in there are badass. We've been getting our butts. Well, I can't speak for you. I've been getting my ass kicked in there. The
actual
workout of boxing.
Yeah. Like, not like sparring and getting.
Yeah, no, absolutely not. We will soon. But I want to give a shout out. Whoever invented the jump rope, I hate everything about you.
Oh, yeah. That's.
I thought swimming was the hardest cardio of all time. No, I've never had a jump rope for 10 straight minutes before in my life with many breaks sprinkled
it's
in.
It's so defeating now, like jump roping for the first time in 17 years or something like that. Like,
jump rope is the gnarliest.
When you're overweight and you're looking at yourself in the mirror while you're jump roping, it's like, oh. What happened to you, man? Well,
so before I want to finish that thought before what I was trying to say is the whole 9-to-5 and you having a kid and thing. Shout out to the people who have daily podcasts and daily sports shows and like the Pat McAfee's who do this for 4 hours a day. I don't know how you do it because I don't know how you find that much shit to talk about. What I was trying to say is you and I do this because we love it. We have a blast. And if we do it 12 months a year, we will not have a blast anymore. So that's why, you know, COVID year, this is our fourth season on this podcast. The COVID year, we had nothing else to do. So that's why we had 80 episodes that year. But the last couple months, we've been kind of ghosts around here. But like you said, like you alluded to, for real reasons, this is the best off season to kind of take a little bit of a step back. Obviously, when the season comes back, we crank right back up.
And here's a flip to that.
That's just it. This offseason, we're taking advantage of it being the offseason.
And guess what? Every time we go into a season or we're in an offseason and we are just so pumped up at the Browns, like, dude, we literally were breaking it down. We're like, okay, they have the offense. Everyone's coming back. They've upgraded the defense. Even if the defense is just okay, literally nothing can go. We didn't say literally nothing could go wrong, but we're like, we're very optimistic. Every time we're optimistic going into 2019, shit hits the fan at a, they're like the Michael Jordan of raising that bar for disappointment. So now it's like, you know what? I've been kind of depressed this offseason, starting to dial it back in, and I'm going to go into this with the most cautiously pessimistic expectations. Just like COVID coming up in COVID, we're like, oh my God, they have a new coach. They haven't been able to train. Like, this is going to be bad. Boom. We ended the playoff drought and beat the shit out of the Steelers in Pittsburgh.
You know what's ironic is agree with everything you just said. That's not the ironic thing. My expectations, like you just said, we've talked about this so much. I am no longer coming into a season. This is nothing. The ironic part is that this might be the best roster on paper. We say this like the last several years now in a row, 2 years. This might be the best one on paper, and my expectations have never been more tempered. It's not even like how we used to sarcastically do the, you know, Super Brown, Super Bowl, or whatever it was. From now on, it's just, I know we have a great team. I love all the guys on the team for the most part. I'm not coming in and saying Super Bowl or bust anymore. I'm not doing it. I can't do it. I can't go that high and then crash that low if we have to crash that low. You feel me?
Yeah, dude. I don't care if we win back-to-back Super Bowls. I'm going into that third year with
one bowl. Like I said, I'm just trying to win me a bowl. If we win a bowl, we're done with the podcast over.
Oh, for sure.
Actually, the Instagram, Instagram, that's yours. Not. Pod's over. I'm done. I might be just done with sports.
My goal is to be a fair weather Browns fan after a Super Bowl and just be like, yeah, I'll catch a game that, you know, the primetime games are, I'll watch them when we're in the AFC championship again. And then, yeah, that would be great to just expect them to win championships and casually watch. Oh, that'd be amazing. Instead of just holding onto the edge of your seat when they're playing like Carolina or something.
Oh, we do play Carolina this year. Speaking of Carolina. Oh,
shit, that was a bad example. Well, maybe a good example.
We're at Carolina and we're at Houston this year. So we got some interesting possibilities coming up here. Regarding Carolina and Baker in Seattle, I know a lot of people are freaking out. Look, I need people to understand, and I'm not saying this with any kind of knowledge or info, just from what I'm reading and understanding. Baker might be on our roster till July. It is what it is. The timing of this, his coming off an injury, the $19 million, the not having a great year last year, the Browns needing to get rid of him. Like, it's just a perfect storm of shit. You can go any angle, any direction you want, but the fact of the matter is you have to just get ready. And who cares? Everyone's going to be like, he's not training yet. We're going to do it. Like, relax. Like, look at how this roster is structured. There's a reason these extensions we've just been signing have $1 million for Denzel Ward. Shout out Denzel Ward, by the way.
Yeah.
Got him on that extension. Hometown hero, hometown kid. Could have been happier for him. Well-deserved extension, Denzel Ward. So glad he's going to be here for a long time. It's okay, everyone. Like, relax. And everyone's like, well, in Rappaport, I get what he's doing. He has to do his job and whatever, but I saw some tweet that there's a better chance that Bernie Kosar comes out of retirement and plays for the Browns than Baker does to show up at training camp and be taking snaps. Like, come on. Yeah, like, there's just people, some people got to let this go on both sides of the conversation here. Like, it's time to move on. We are big Baker fans here, right? We have, we've had a lot of great experiences with Baker, with Emily. Like, they are phenomenal people, and we wish them the best. And
they've done a lot for the franchise.
Baker's a good quarterback. He's going to be a starter in the NFL. Like, it's just, I say this as a Browns fan. Like, I will continue to cheer for Baker and Emily, and I hope we are able to stay, you know, pals with them because they're great people. As a Browns fan, and I'm saying this, you all got to let this go. You got to move on. It's time to move on, right? It was a messy divorce. It's still lingering, but we need to move on and get past this.
Is to do something.
I know it's very hard with the other lingering quarterback issues with Deshaun. Speaking of which, I have a latest update on that I'd like to share with you.
Hit me.
Great transition, by the way. That was on both of us that time. So the latest update with the Deshaun Watson saga, if you don't know what I'm talking about, use Google. There was news regarding the 22 civil lawsuits pending against Browns starting quarterback Deshaun Watson, as reported yesterday by Mike Florio for Pro Football Talk and NBC Sports. So the attorney for the women, Tony Busby, filed a notice of his intention to question Watson over 5 days in early May, to which Deshaun's attorney, Rusty Harden, replied with, "Mr. Watson recently moved out of the state and currently lives in Ohio, blah, blah, blah. He has a full-time job, blah, blah, blah." Anyway, there's going to be a hearing next week on the matter. But Tony Busby, the lawyer for these females, knows exactly what he's doing here. He's trying to make this as big of a pain in the ass as he can. I'm not a legal expert. I'm just reading what other articles other people have said on the matter. They know the more that, how can we make this as annoying as possible for the guy we're going against? Let's get him to come up back here to Houston for 5 separate days, early May. So anyway, there's a hearing on it next week. Who knows what's going on? Hang on. We got a friend of the program, Connor, just hopping on with us right now. Let me bring him in here. Connor, can you hear us?
Hello, gentlemen.
All right, I'm finishing a thought, then we'll get into this, the next part here. We'll bring up the speed. We're talking about how news came out for Deshaun Watson today. The lawyer representing the 22 women filed a motion. They want to do 5 depositions of him, 5 separate days in early May. Deshaun's attorney turned around and said he can't. He's got a full-time job out of state, blah, blah, blah. There's a hearing next week. So it's a legal strategy to be as annoying as possible in hopes of getting him to settle, to stop having to come down here to do 5 depositions this week and then so on and so forth. Thoughts on that? Do you have any thoughts on that?
I got thoughts on that.
Hell yeah.
I think he should just settle. I mean, it's... There's part of me that's like, well, if you didn't do anything at all and they just came out of the woodwork and don't settle, stick to your guns. I don't think he is, gosh, I don't want to get canceled. I think there was probably some wrongdoing. It doesn't mean he is, I don't think he's a rapist. Some people, they casually read and they're like, oh, the Browns signed the devil. He's not the devil. But he did put himself into a situation where he had interaction with these 22 people. From an economic standpoint, this is why I think he should settle. Well, right now your salary is $1 million a year. You settle, you're going to get suspended. It's going to happen. And you're missing out on the revenue that you would be getting per game, every game you're suspended. Right now, that's a 1/17th of $1 million per game. Whereas next year it's 1/17th of $45 million. And I think the lawyer knows that and he's using that. But more importantly, I think he could settle on his terms to some degree. I think he could begin the, okay, it's behind us. Let's move on and play the next however many years with a clean, clear head.
One more layer to this. Let me get your thoughts on this and Connor too. So Florio concluded this article. Again, you can check him out, read this article about it. The best approach to the entire litigation continues to be getting everyone in a room with a retired judge who will try to broker a global settlement. All parties involved need to endure a little tough love in order to get this done. Busby may need more of it than anyone else. If the presiding judge hopes to minimize the time spent on this case, ordering a mandatory mediation of all cases to be conducted between the end of the offseason program and the start of training camp could be the best move to make. That's a quote from Florio. So what he's saying is get a third party retired judge who's been through 1,000 of these in his life cases. I'm just saying cases, and have him come in and just tell everyone what should happen. So I heard them talking about that today on ESPN radio, and some, I believe what they were saying was, and I don't quote me on this. This could be one settling would get, obviously this goes to bed. We don't have to hear about the individual cases and the details that could be involved there. We just put this behind us, stop talking about it, and get on with it. In terms of Deshaun, other people are saying that this could also be used by him to say, hey, this judge, we had a third party come in and recommended we do this. I'm going with his recommendation based on the legal advice. I'm not saying I'm guilty. So people are saying he could use that to his advantage. You know what I'm saying?
So that makes sense.
We'll see what happens.
That's not to pat myself on the back, but if he settles, he can have a statement made to the public that's on his terms versus what gets leaked out, which,
and they can't talk about it ever again. They can't talk about it ever. Anyone,
which we're not here to censor people, like, you know,
no, I don't know how to talk about this stuff. We've been very candid about this. That's what
it's like, but it's like, don't know what we're doing. Get them their settlement and let's all move on.
Like, we're trying to be as sensitive as possible here in respect of obviously of the allegations. Like, let's be real here, but So anyway, I wanted to actually put some news, some headlines in here. I got one more headline after this, but you heard him pop in, called in the middle of that. The Raging Cajun, the draft explaining, Mr. Connard. For the fourth season in a row, the fourth annual draft especial, we have Connard, the draft expert. Let's go, Raleigh.
Yeah, he is in Seattle, boots on the ground, getting some intel on possible trade deals for the Browns and Baker. Plus, he's there for work. He is a fantasy guru. We'll bring him back once. God, fantasy.
We can't open that
one
yet.
I know. Everything we do is just so exhausting. Shout out to the unpaid intern who has brought me back-to-back titles, him just crushing the waiver
wire. I got many months before that.
And he's a football analytics guy.
Hey, Connard.
Hey, guys. How we doing? Good to keep the tradition rolling here again.
No, we appreciate it because, hey, if you go back and listen to, well, the longtime listeners know this, new time listener, just trust us. You've hit on every draft. I'm like last year, we're talking about, oh, you know, Russell Koromoa could come into play, like JOK. You've called, you've called your shot a few times, and I mean, you haven't called like the pick because no one's that brilliant. Come on, but you've called names, so we're gonna get to that in a second. Again, Connard isn't, you know, the in his Twitter bio doesn't have ESPN or CBS, NBC, NFL Insider, but this guy reading. This man does more reading in mock drafts on a Tuesday in October than anyone does this week leading up to the draft. The man loves his drafts and his stats, and he's been a great resource for us here. So,
and he's a sick dude.
Speaking of numbers and all that, today was a big announcement also from the Cleveland Browns, alongside Bally's Interactive announced a new partnership. Bally's will now be the official betting partner of the Cleveland Browns, including mobile sports betting and lounge, a sports book lounge at First Energy Stadium, whenever Ohio finally legalizes this shit. So I think 2023, they're saying. But think about it. Go down to First Energy Stadium, and there's going to be a sports book inside the stadium somewhere. That's going to be completely out of control and out of hand. I'll have them figure that part out. But imagine these ghouls, us included, going from like the Muni lot or the pit, and people just going right into that sports book. I guess that's not any different than going to the stadium, so whatever. But damn, thoughts, gentlemen? It's big.
Yeah, you know, my dream someday is to have like an iPad at each seat.
Yes.
I literally sit there and say, is this going to be a run or a pass run?
Ooh, real quick, live bullets. Yeah.
Yeah.
Ohio's got to catch up in a lot of things. This needs to be legalized ASAP. But what I would like to get into now is, and obviously it's been such an interesting dynamic with the Browns having no first round pick this year. And I'm very guilty of this too. I've been almost like weary about it, like a little nervous. Guys, for the first time in our godforsaken lives, of at least this franchise, at least, we're kind of all in here. Good teams and who make good moves with smart management, knock on wood, this is what happens. You have to say goodbye to draft pick. You have to say goodbye to big time players. Again, knock on wood. I mean, look at the wide receiver we just got from the Cowboys, right? Look at Tyreek Hill leaving Kansas City. Like, this kind of shit happens. Kind of related, not related. Anyway, Connor, I'm going to stop talking here momentarily. This year, the Cleveland Browns coming into the draft tomorrow, Thursday night. We have 1, 2, 3. We have 7 picks this year. round two, number 44, round three, number 78. And then we go a pick in the third, fourth, sixth, and two in the seventh round. Boom.
Connard, I'm about to pull the greatest podcast co-host power move of all time. I think you're up for the challenge. I am going to outline where I see this episode going and list a couple of bullet points that are also questions and ask you to answer them. So, what's the state of the – what are the needs of the Browns in free agency? What are the needs of the Browns in the draft? And how does that shit tie together? Bonus, do you see them making a splash with Baker in the draft? What day? Not what day, but thoughts. Boom. Answer those questions that I don't know how to answer.
Got it. All right. And yeah, I guess first off, do want to mention with the lack of first round picks, when's the last time the Rams picked in the first round? You know, I can't even name the last year. It's probably been 3 or 4 years in a row they've traded theirs away. And obviously that worked out pretty well for them. So, you know, hopefully we're moving in the right direction here on the same track. But yeah, as far as the team needs go, I mean, the good thing is, you know, the needs are kind of the same for the draft and free agency. We just got to get them addressed one way or the other. So we've got optionality here. And, you know, whether we're able to do that in free agency or in the draft kind of depends on the Baker situation and whether we can dump his contract, you know, and start to open up a little extra money for the free agents. So, you know, if we can get maybe not all the $18 million off the books, I think we're going to have to eat some of that in order for us to get a deal done. But, you know, I think we're waiting to sign guys like Clowney, or maybe we were going to bring Jarvis back or bring in some other receiver help via free agency. We got to get Baker's contract out of there first. So I think those moves are kind of pending, but I feel like in all likelihood, the defensive end and edge player, the wide receiver needs will probably double down and hit them in both, you know, both a free agency and a draft option.
Some people say that what I've been reading and just the discourse in general is that Andrew Berry may, and we've only had two drafts with us to look back on, that Andrew Berry may not value defensive end high enough to draft with the first pick of his of draft, the first, second round. Do you concur? Is that out of left field?
I don't necessarily buy into that. I think, well, and I guess it depends on, we think Andrew Berry does, you know, all the calling of the shots in terms of what position we're prioritizing, or if Dee Podesta comes into there as well, because, you know, in years past as our, you know, chief strategy officer or whatever the title is, you know, he said the positions that we're going to prioritize are quarterback, tackles, edge players, and cornerbacks, you know, and so by those standards, you know, that's a high value position that, you know, if you can get a playmaker that you don't have to pay a ton of money, you know, for 4 or 5 years there, certainly makes sense to take that shot while you have it. So I mean, I personally think one of their first, let's say two picks, maybe three, if there's somebody really, really good there in another spot, I think they'll hit the defensive end position early and maybe again late.
So here's my question on that. I was listening to, again, ESPN Radio said that this week they're talking about how there's a lot of talk out there in the league that there's kind of a handshake deal between the Browns and Clowney. They just haven't done anything yet. Like, a lot of people think it's just a matter of time.
Yep.
So a lot of people are saying if we draft wide receiver at 44, that means Clowney's coming back. I don't know if I buy we're going to automatically go wide receiver, though, and that's been a recent change of frame or mindset for me. Yes, no shit, we got to revamp our running, our throwing, receiving game. I get that. We all get that. It's huge. But at the same time, I look at the value of a good edge player, and especially he's a stand-up. I'm thinking of, what's his name? Walker, maybe?
Trayvon Walker?
There you go. Yeah. If I have to bet money, well, actually I can't. I live in Illinois. It's legal. I'm going between him and that wide receiver from maybe Boise.
Oh, Khalil Shakir.
Thank you. Yeah. This is why we have you on here.
My man.
Yeah.
So, excuse me, Drake Jackson. Why am I saying Georgia? I got some issues. We all know that. Drake Jackson is who I'm going at for 44, either between him or Khalil Shakir from Boise State. I don't know.
So, the Walker, I was going to say, he's all of a sudden a dark horse to go first overall, which is
interesting.
Because he's tested absolutely off the charts athletically. And
I guess you shouldn't be surprised with any player. I mean, it's changed every other day.
Yeah, his stock is way, way up. But Drake Jackson, will be an option there in between the second or third round, and he's a decent fit. I was talking to Raleigh about this earlier, but if you're projecting what the Browns are going to do with early picks, there's a really fascinating chart I actually saw today, and it's Andrew Berry's draft habits in the first and second round for the last, for his whole tenure. And he loves to go very, very young. Like,
yes,
on average, he drafts, so far a full year.
Oh, Raleigh sent me that chart, and I thought it was a joke because of how far isolated the Browns are on that.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, they're fully, and then he likes people very athletic, and the Browns are literally fully up and to the left on this scatter plot, not even remotely close to anybody else. So if that standard holds, you can kind of narrow down pretty easily, who the top options might be for some of those earlier picks. And so looking at that, if we're looking at the 44th pick, George Pickens out of Georgia is 21 years old and tested, top seven guys in the draft for that kind of relative athletic score that's mentioned on the chart. Jahan Dotson out of Penn State, same deal, 21 years old, super fast, very athletic. Sky Moore.
For those of us that aren't stats junkies or college football junkies, what position do they play, Adam?
These are wide receivers.
Tight. Just for the audience.
Yes.
I knew that.
Yeah. These are all wide receiver options that kind of would fit the bill there in the second round. If we're looking at the third round, Shakir could come into play, as you mentioned, for wide receiver. The kid named Alec Pierce out of Cincinnati that's, big, 6'3", 4'3", 40, super athletic, 21 years old. John Metchie, stud from Alabama, same deal, 21, young guy, very athletic. So those are the kind of guys that fit the mold of our draft habits so far. So those are good names. And, I'm going to hit, hopefully, if I throw out, 10 names that you like that.
Do you think Barry would see the three of us as young and athletic?
Oh, no.
I mean, do you think he could see us as not young and not athletic?
I think
I can say young and not, or not young and not athletic, more likely.
I'm just trying to think out loud here.
Question. So Stefanski doesn't seem to utilize wide receivers. It just seems like every time they're not utilized on this team. Is it possible that the media, the talking heads, everyone is speculating on wide receiver being one of the crucial needs in the draft? Like, let's say you have two, B-plus players, one edge, one wide receiver at the whatever pick, 44 overall?
Yeah.
I'm thinking they're going, there's no way they're going, even if it's like a B edge defender and a B-plus receiver, wouldn't you see him going edge?
Disclaimer. If we had that first round pick before Deshaun, I would say wide receiver. I'd bet the house. The second round's what screwed me up. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. now to the point on the edge, I mean, I also think that, the depth of the class, the options that you think you might have later, if you pass on a position, that all matters quite a bit as well, where, you just heard me rattle off, like six or seven guys that fit that athletic young profile receiver. Defensive end, there's not, or edge, there's not nearly as many options there. A lot of the guys that I'm seeing mocked to the Browns in that second round area are like, maybe they are very athletic, but they're, 23 years old or, might even be 24 by the time the season starts. So, or it's a guy like David Ojabo out of Michigan who tore an Achilles, is going to have to miss a whole season. Don't know if that athleticism is going to be there anymore when he gets back. Also, you know, that's another lost year, and he's 23 by the time he's finally in the NFL. So, yeah, I think the second round there's maybe two guys that could fall far enough to be in the Browns' consideration. There's a guy named Logan Hall out of Houston. It's a stud. He's 21. Can play inside or outside on the defensive line. Or George Karloftis out of Purdue, who's I don't know why he keeps falling in the mock drafts, but he seems to be. So he's also 21 in it. So if he falls, that's a huge pick.
Have you ever seen more of a disagreement or more of a variety of like the top 10 of every mock draft out there? I have yet to see, click on two in a row, the top five is completely different.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I think the top maybe 15 guys, people have a decent consensus on who that might be, but the order is all over the place. And then, you know, when you get from 15 to 50, you know, there's an unbelievable amount of
So two questions. I think I did bet on this actually. I think Garrett Wilson is the first wide receiver taken off the board. Do you have any, or have you decided who you think would go first? And number two, second question, you have studied more about Barry in the draft than I could even know where to start or look. Do we draft a kicker anywhere in the seventh round or any of these other goofy later picks we have?
Yeah. Yeah. So for the receiver question, I mean, Garrett Wilson's my personal favorite, but this is also somewhat of a homer pick.
I know we're Ohio State fans here, but yeah, even taking that out, I still say.
Yeah. I mean,
not to interrupt, but here's my thought on Garrett Wilson. You have him and you have, who's the other guy?
Olave.
Olave. And you have the hurt
Jameson Williams,
wide receiver.
Jameson Williams. State.
Yeah. So you have, who's the guy?
Oh, you're talking about Smith. You're talking about Smith and Jigba.
Yeah. Smith and Jigba. Yes. Essentially you have three absolute studs at the wide receiver position at Ohio State. And they're playing for Ohio State, who 9 games out of 10 is significantly better than their opponent just by skill alone. Does that not, it's like, well, if you got drafted in the top five, well, you're not going to the Ohio States of the NFL. You're going to a team that is struggling. So back to Garrett Wilson, I'm like, well, couldn't a mediocre receiver have thrived in that system when there's two other studs that have to be accounted for and your O-line is 10 times better than anyone else versus a guy like Drake London with USC, who didn't put up as good a stats, but he was the, if I'm not mistaken, like the only stud first round pick caliber receiver on that offense.
That's what you're saying. Like, cause one of the best teams in the country year in and year out. Does that mask any weaknesses they may have? To which that's a great question. And then also, Connor, on top of that, but I have heard that looking at those guys individually, I forget if which one, Olave or Wilson, they said one of them is like the, will be already one of the best route runners in the NFL today.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the thing with the Ohio State receivers is, I guess with Garrett Wilson, he was the top wide receiver prospect in his class coming out of high school. So, you know, his production at Ohio State kind of reinforced the fact that he's a stud, you know. And so the other thing that I will say is the most interesting part, Jameson Williams from Alabama, who tore his ACL late in the season, people are still saying he might end up being the best receiver in the whole draft class.
And yeah.
He went to Ohio State, didn't beat out Wilson and Olave, and transferred to Alabama, and then just immediately was the best receiver in the SEC, which, you know, to anything that, to speak to the skill level in front of him, that those two guys beat him out, and then he goes to Alabama of all places, and is immediately not only their best receiver, but, you know, best guy in the SEC is pretty crazy.
Interesting theory I heard is that the Jets take him at six, knowing their season's they're still very much rebuilding. And it doesn't really matter. Take him at six because there's no pressure for him to perform this year. Have you heard anything like that? You see that mocked up?
I get it. You know, but at the same time, if you're worried about Zach Wilson's development, you probably want to get some help right away. And
true,
given how thirsty they've been to try and find a receiver, you know, they've been on the Tyreek sweepstakes on everybody else. And so
one more question. I want to bring us back to the Browns real quick. Speaking of top overall wide receiver prospects, Donovan Peoples-Jones was the top wide receiver the year coming out of high school, I believe. So great transition there, Connor. My question kind of pertaining to the draft, but just the Browns in general, you know, we keep talking about how brutal the passing game was last year. Are we kind of undervaluing or underappreciating DPJ right now? Because a lot of talk right now I've been seeing is we got Amari and then nothing else. I think we still got a little something, and we haven't seen them. Again, different people click with different quarterbacks, right? Who knows what they could look like with Deshaun or Jacoby or any of these other guys? Who knows? What are your thoughts on that?
I think DPJ is absolutely being slept on. I mean, you talk about, again, those things that our team values. He was super young coming into the draft. He had the top athletic profile, I believe, out of everybody in his draft class. And so it's not his fault. He went to Michigan and their offense was so trash that his game was.
Talk about it.
You know, for a couple of seasons. So, you know, that's not on him. He just needs to, you know, a couple years in our system. I think he's a definitely a great breakout candidate. And, you know, for kind of that Will Fuller, the Deshaun deep route threat, I wouldn't sleep on Anthony Schwartz either. He's again, he was 20 years old last year. He was the fastest guy in the draft class
and the league on paper last year. Do you see Barry or Depot taking some tight end in like the sixth, seventh round from middle Maryland State or something that we've never heard of before? And he turns out to be some just stud tight end. I see that as kind of a sleeper. If I could bet on that in this draft, I would.
Yeah. I think there's a bunch of good names that are in that kind of fourth, fifth, sixth round range. There's a guy named Jelani Woods out of Virginia. A guy named Daniel Bellinger from San Diego State.
You're a psycho.
Charlie Kolar from Iowa State.
I was going to say, hey, a Lesser Browns podcast would not bring you these names in schools. Raleigh and I sure as hell won't.
But yeah, you know, like we run two tight ends all the time. We only have two tight ends rostered right now. So, you know, I think them bringing in somebody else to develop that, you know, we can throw in there similar to a Harrison Bryant last year. I think that's a very likely move at some point.
All right. So I think I'm going to say my final prediction. We'll take a wide receiver 44. We'll take edge the next pick. And then after that's free for all. I got to just think that if Clowney is, you know, essentially a done deal, maybe knock on wood, we take a receiver there, young. We get 5 years of him, 4 years. I don't know what second round and how that works. Clowney comes back. Miles is there. We sign. I mean, we already did sign someone else. And then we bring in that third rounder to develop slowly, be kind of a situational edge next to those monsters, learn from them, practice with them, that he can shine in 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, I love that approach. I think that's absolutely the move. And I think
Thank you.
That's why they pick the young guy, you know, and get somebody who's toolsy and raw and, you know, that they can, they're a little ball of clay that they can mold into a stud, you know, in a couple of years.
And again, I apologize for combining like four names in four different schools earlier.
You're forgiven, Kevin. Thank you. I think if they go, what you were bringing up earlier, Kevin, about if the Browns go wide receiver, that's an indication that they're going to bring back Clowney. I'm kind of thinking with his age, and I don't think he would. You can never have too much depth on the D line.
Of course not.
And I think if the draft class is more shallow at D line. We were talking about Peoples Jones and who they do have, and they're still, you can pick up a veteran wide receiver in free agency. I think they're going to go edge. Like, I think that's the most glaring need, because they're, people act like, oh, you get Clowney and boom, awesome. It's like, well, he's an older dude and you need to get some rotational guys in there. Because, I mean, when it's just Garrett, you can tell, you know, like give him some, put a guy, even D tackle, really, like some stud next to him. Like, you can never, that changes everything when you have a nasty D line.
Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, people also.
Well said, Raleigh.
You know, thanks.
Very well said.
Fucking first time recording in months, and we're back. I just say things that sound smart to me sometimes. Sports.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the thing with Clowney too is, you know, there's a bit of a recency bias that he's going to stay healthy. You know, he's had one healthy season out of the last, what, four?
Last year we said if we get 12 games with him, we're celebrating.
Yeah.
He missed one, two. One, it was so great. That's
far from a given as well. And
true.
You know, I think I would venture to say they probably have maybe two, three edge type of guys that they hope fall to them. If that happens, they'll take them. If not, plenty of good consolation prizes, you know, at the receiver position. So,
you're going with edge at 44?
Yes.
Okay.
I said Connor's guess before Connor said Connor's guess. Let's go. Lastly, unless Kevin, you have anything else, do you see the Browns trying to make a splash or dish out Baker? If so, is it like a mid round?
That's what I was going to. I started that thought earlier. We didn't finish it. I'm going to real quick. I said when I was talking about how people need to stop freaking out, he might be around till like July. We need to see what Seattle and Carolina do in the first round before any of these scenarios can even pop off. Connor, go ahead.
Yeah. I mean, that's one of the reasons I'm here in Seattle. I'm talking to all the homeless people, trying to get them to, you know, convince the Seahawks GM. That
look for those needles out there, man. Be careful. Not the space needle, the ones on the ground.
Yeah. But, you know, it's similar to a Haslam situation, trying to get the homeless contingency to really back.
Oh, no. Yeah. We're past that. God damn it. Great. I mean, that was great how you brought that in. It brought that full circle, though. Wow. Remember, Connor is currently in Seattle, Washington.
Yeah.
No, Rod, to answer your question, I had no other questions or topics. I was going to declare the song of the summer. That's all.
Oh, that's a. If you were going to brief me on that topic, what am I going to choose?
No. So, but with
listening to
my song of the summer, yeah. And then you have the full reservation to make your song of summer too. But that's after football's done. Are we done with football?
No, we're not. Go ahead, Connor.
Last thing I would say with Baker, I think they're going to have to eat half of his salary. You know, probably.
I'm going 11. I'm saying 11, 12.
So,
out of 19.
And I don't think we're going to get it a day two pick, you know, like a second or third rounder. I think we're, you know, if we can get a fourth, fifth, we'll just take what we can get.
I think if we're paying 10 or 11 mil, that's gotta be for a third rounder, or Barry's going to be like, I'm not paying 10 or 11 for not a third rounder. No, maybe.
I mean, we have three quarterbacks that we signed, so we don't have any plans to keep him on the roster. That's unfortunately the issue, is they've kind of telegraphed their hand. I would have loved to see them say, hey, we don't know if Deshaun is going to be suspended yet, so we need Baker because he's going to have to start games for us this year.
I don't think
that's just laughable. You
know, there's no way they'd have done it. I mean, the last thing anyone would want.
Baker doesn't want to come to that shit.
You don't want to scorn Baker in the locker room. Like,
if
I'm it's him, just I'm a lose like, lose for everyone.
I'm going to burn this mother down. Like, I would say so much shit about, like, oh, anyway.
No, but like I said earlier, again, we're big fans of Bacon Emily, but from a Browns fan, and I'm just saying from their side, everyone's got to move on here and stop. Like, this has got to get finalized hopefully soon for the best. I'm just cheering for him, but I can't wait to not talk about the quarterback position for like a Ever. Day.
But my,
that's nothing personal against them.
When you know, we're talking about getting a pick and eating some of his salary. Well, what about, they mentioned this, what about giving a pick to eat the salary? What would be more valuable to the Browns, like the cap space or mid-round draft capital?
Or you'd swap like 6th or 7th round picks, right?
Something, I don't know shit about draft capital, but I'm saying like, hey, we'll give you a 4th and Baker, and his contract is yours.
You ever see the movie Get Him to the Greek?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Yeah.
The extended version too.
Yeah, when they're, shout out me for this reference, when they're sitting in Diddy's office, and he said, anyone know about Singular, AT&T Singular? And the one guy goes, no. He goes, well, you should. Don't be proud of your ignorance. So I'm telling you right there, you're like, I don't know shit about this. So I say, you should. Don't be proud of your ignorance.
That's a great reference, Kevin.
I'm going to watch that tonight.
That's the best movie reference. Well done. That is a good, and that is a good movie, everyone. I enjoyed it.
Great movie. Great soundtrack. Sorry, continue your thoughts, though.
I'm just saying we're talking about getting a mid-round draft pick and eating some of his contract. Well, what about on the flip side? The worst thing that they could do is cut him. And there's no, like, that will not happen. They would eat some of his salary and then give him to somebody before they let him control his own destiny. He'd be picked up by Pittsburgh the next day. But is it possible that they give up draft capital for a team to take his salary in its entirety?
I'd say that's more likely than cutting him. If they cut him, they have to pay the whole salary.
Yeah, sure. Exactly.
So they got to do something to just dump some of that. And, you know, the whole situation just sucks. I mean, I'm a big Baker believer still. I think he's still going to be a good quarterback. I'd say
you're not allowed to say that, because then you're a Baker bro, and then you're one of these idiots on Twitter that, yeah.
So, I mean, I think the Browns,
it's a joke.
Great job destroying his value. I think, you know, he did a good job destroying his value on
a terrible divorce.
Like, perfect storm, perfect shit storm, man. Everything that happened just like at once.
It could be on Cops.
You know,
we got to remember though, Twitter is like 3% of Browns fans. Yeah. So it's like, I got to remind myself that like half the time.
Like the fact that the Redskins,
the Commanders
football team, whatever. The fact that they could get, like, they gave up, what was it, a second, a third, or maybe 2/3 for Carson Wentz. I mean, I would take Baker over him any day.
For sure. And I mean, come on, look at Carolina's quarterbacks. Like, who are they kidding?
Yeah, so that
even if they draft, like, Baker's better than all them. Baker still, there's not 32 quarterbacks better than Baker. Like, he's going to start somewhere.
Yeah,
actually, maybe not next year, because right now it's kind of all booked. But he's just he'll be a starting quarterback in the NFL again, obviously.
Yeah, I totally agree. And so, you know, you see something like that happen, you're like, how can we not get something of value, you know, to trade him? So hopefully prediction, by the way. We will trade one of our picks away for a future pick. At least, you know, could even be one of those third rounders. I think the fact that, you know, one thing that Barry understands very well is the whole NFL draft is a total crapshoot. And the more shots you have on goal, the higher your percentages of hitting on somebody for cheap that's going to help the team on a low contract for a long time. And so, without the first round picks for a few years, we're going to have to hit on some of those, you know, mid round picks to help make up for that. And so I can definitely see us moving, you know, a pick or two to try and gather some future assets and boost things going forward. So that's my final question.
God, that just reminded me. I'm like, I keep in my mind thinking, oh, we don't have a first round pick this year. I'm like, oh, it's also that plus
I'm two pumped. Warriors.
Yeah.
Just I'm not pumped. Care. And people are asking if we're going to trade back into the first round. The Browns facility is shut down Thursday night. They're not even having the media come out there like they have every other. Like, I know we're not used to this, but like, it's okay, guys. It's okay to not have a first round pick. It's all right.
I'm not mad about
it. I'm not talking to you guys. I'm talking to everyone. That's all I got.
Season we need to edit predictions.
Do we need season record predictions? Yeah. Oh, I'm not doing this shit. I'm doing, like, let's go 9-8 or 10-7.
I'm going to go 3-14.
All right.
Love it. Yeah. Undersell. Over deliver. That's what
exactly.
There's nothing we need to edit out of this, right? Nothing. No one said anything stupid.
Song of the summer.
Oh, that's right. But song of the summer. Yeah. My official declaration, I reserve the right to change this. It is only April. My official song of the summer is Broadway Girls by Lil Durk and Morgan Wallen. Broadway Girls, great song. Maybe we'll take you out at the end of this podcast with this jam. Connor, thank you, sir, as always, for coming on. We'll see you again here in a few months for fantasy.
Give us song of the summer?
Sounds good.
Huh? You're not going to give us our songs of the summer?
I would like to save this for the next couple weeks so we can extend this content out.
We're going to forget about it, and I had a good song of the
summer. Well, then what? Yeah, then we go. Shoot, if you have one now, yeah. I just want to put you on the spot.
Wheels on the Bus by Lady Baby Bum. Quinn loves it.
Fair. That is your song of the summer, whether you like it or not. So true. For Connor, for Raleigh, for myself, thanks for listening to Dogs War Podcast. Do that thing. If you don't mind, please, you hit that subscribe. Maybe leave just a quick rating or a comment. Hey, it only takes but 3 seconds. Thanks for listening to Dogs War Podcast, and good night, Cleveland.
It was 1950 in the cold and rain when my father took me to my very first game. Browns are gonna show you how the game is played. Here we go again.